Did you just hear something? Oh, it's just Amazon just inside your door. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Amazon's results are due today for summer into fall. The experts are predicting a slim profit, maybe 3 cents a share. What it might lack in profits, Amazon likes to make up for with innovation. There's news that you could soon install some equipment so that an Amazon delivery person can unlock your door and drop off packages when you're not home. Some people were unnerved when it emerged last year that Amazon was working with car companies to see if a delivery person might pop your trunk to leave the packages in there. Well, now this. And it's not a little pilot project. This starts in 37 cities next month. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Amazon won't actually have a key to your place. It'll be a smart lock and security camera, which you'll have to buy from Amazon for $250. It's a way to deal with problems like package theft.
It's actually one of the fastest growing crimes because it's so darn easy to do.
Mike Grabham runs a competing service called Package Guard. Key might solve some customer concerns, but Michael Pachter at Wedbush Securities says it introduces a new one.
The cost of providing some stranger access to their home probably outweighs the convenience of knowing the package is there.
Amazon says its in-home deliveries will be carried out by vetted drivers and streamed live on your smartphone. Analyst Natalie Berg at Planet Retail says it's about more than just deliveries.
Amazon Key quite literally unlocks another opportunity for Amazon to embed themselves in shoppers' lives to push professional services like cleaning and repairs and dog walking.
Leaving you with more free time to buy things on Amazon. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
The good news today from the short message and advertising company Twitter, a modest growth in users last quarter. But the bad news, Twitter revealed today it's been overstating its user numbers for 3 years now and revised those numbers down. At the moment, Twitter stock is up 12%. There is a decision to turn the burner down a few notches in the world's second biggest economic region. Plus, there will be headlines tomorrow morning about economic growth in the U.S. Let's get our Thursday consultation with economist Diane Swonk at DS Economics in Chicago. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
All right. I can do a whole dissertation on the limits of gross domestic product as a measure of our awesomeness or lack thereof. That said, we're going to get the third quarter reading tomorrow, and I suppose we should pay attention.
We should pay attention, and actually it's going to be a good reading. We really are surprised at the resilience of the economy. Looks like we could nibble close to 3% yet again after, you know, about 1% in the first quarter. So it's very uneven by quarters. It all, you know, gets a little lumpy in there. But what's amazing about this quarter has been the comeback in business investment. And this is something we've been waiting for. A lot of it's related to the oil industry. We also saw some hurricane effects, some repairs, and the things that needed to be done quickly moved into durable goods and these big manufacturing orders out there. And of course, we all know we've already seen vehicle sales surge as people had to replace all these flooded cars. So the GDP numbers are actually going to come up a lot stronger than we expected, despite major disruptions created by these hurricanes and now fires, which should show up in the October employment data. I think that's important to remember as well. So here we're going to have strong GDP. And like you said, it's hard to dice because this is at the same time we lost 33,000 jobs in the month of September.
Yes, all that weather. Now, today, the European Central Bank, with the European economy generally doing better, what do they say? A little less stimulus, but they're going to keep it around a little longer? Do I have that right?
Exactly. And, you know, it really is sort of following the Fed's lead. It's this idea that if we walk on eggshells, nothing will crack. And they don't want to crack the foundations of what's been a more robust recovery in Europe. And remember, it's now starting to come back, even sort of these periphery countries. Even Greece is seeing a rebound after going through a depression. So I think that's very important to keep in mind, is that just think of these central banks abroad. They're about 3 to 4 years behind the Fed, but they're slowly starting to ease up on the accelerator.
Diane Swonk at DS Economics in Chicago. Always good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too.
The Federal Communications Commission chair announced yesterday that that agency might change its rules to make it easier for media companies to own more news outlets in the same local market. Ajit Pai says the current rules were designed for a time when the media market was so dominated by print newspaper and TV, or as he put it, pulp and rabbit ears. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has more on this.
Yeah, he says these rules are outdated. They go back to 1975, before the rise of digital media. And since then, hundreds of local newspapers have folded. A lot of local broadcast stations are struggling. So Pai says scrapping the rules would help local media compete in today's market. Critics, specifically Democrats, want to keep the rules because they say, yeah, things have changed. We're now in this era of media conglomerates like Disney, Time Warner, and Comcast. And they say fewer companies controlling the media means fewer points of view nationally and in local markets. Speaking of, there's a huge $4 billion merger waiting for FCC approval right now. The conservative Sinclair Broadcast Group is trying to buy Tribune Media, and these rules are one barrier. Combined, that company would reach almost three-quarters of U.S. households. We'll know more when the FCC votes on these rules next month.
Thank you, Marielle. Now, the head of the German Stock Exchange just quit. Carsten Kengitter was being investigated in an insider trading case. He'd worked out a settlement, but a German court turned that down. He's denied the allegations. Questions surround Kengitter's purchase of more than $5 million worth of German Stock Exchange stock before merger talks were announced with the London Stock Exchange. Those two never did merge, by the way. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.